Coming up on KUCB News, unprecedented summer drought drained reservoirs and wells across Alaska, and KUCB is looking for volunteers. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, September 5th, 2019. In light of recent state budget cuts, Unalaska Community Broadcasting is looking for volunteers. Last month, Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed significant funding for public broadcasting from the Alaska State Operating Budget. KUCB General Manager Lauren Adams says public radio and television is losing about $2.7 million statewide, including $76,000 for the local station.
One cut is not enough to destroy our organization, but I certainly do fear how we will sound and how we will bring Unalaska the local programming that is why people use us and love us and turn the radios on and use a TV station. So we're certainly working our way through that.
When full-time staffer Chrissy Rose leaves her post with Channel 8 TV later this year, Adams says she is looking to fill station needs with volunteers and part-time staff. These include arts and culture programming, music programming, DJing, or even recording public service announcements or short informational modules on local history or science factoids.
By losing staff members, it's a huge hit to our ability to both fundraise and provide programming. And if there are people out there who want to volunteer, it sure does help the quality of the radio and the programming that we can provide. If we had more volunteers on the air and we're able to fill more hours of the day with local content and local voices and information about events and things, there are a lot of things that localize the sound of the radio that could be done by volunteers.
If you are interested in volunteering with KUCB, please contact the station at 581-1888 or email Lauren Adams at lauren@kucb.org. After an unprecedented summer drought drained reservoirs and wells across Alaska, hundreds of people continue to face immediate water shortages. As Alaska Public Media's Kirsten Swan reports, that's raising new, long-term questions about the availability of water in places where it has always been plentiful.
As of August 27th, more than 5% of the state, including Anchorage, the Kenai Peninsula, and parts of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough, was experiencing severe drought, according to the National Integrated Drought Information System. It's linked to climate change, and it's the most intense period of drought recorded in Alaska since the U.S. Drought Monitor began nearly 20 years ago. And it's having a profound effect on how Alaska communities think about water. In Chignik Lagoon, village administrators are assessing their options after local aquifers ran dry last month. In Homer, some farmers whose groundwater systems ran dry are pondering digging new wells. Reservoirs evaporated in Nanwalik and Tetitlik, and in Seldovia, local officials estimate the community reservoir now holds only 16 days' worth of water. Cassidy Cameron is the Seldovia city manager, and she says the city is distributing jugs of drinking water shipped in from Homer, and also thinking about what they'll do if the drought continues.
I think it's important to start looking at that really big picture of, well, we live in Alaska, we'll never run out of water. Well, never say never, you know.
Cameron says city leaders have discussed whether it would be feasible to ship in a freshwater processing or desalination plant. They've also talked about potential new water sources.
We, as a community and as a state, need to start looking at situations that we thought would never happen to us and make plans, because this could very well be the norm for us at this point.
For farmers in Homer, the abnormally warm, waterless summer has led to drier garlic, firmer tomatoes, and larger apples, but also reduced watering schedules, depleted reserves, and increased labor demands. Don McNamara, co-owner of Homer's Oceanside Farms, says he relies on groundwater collected in spring boxes and a small creek that ran dry. While he'd prefer to water daily, there's only enough water right now to do it twice a week at most. McNamara has lived in Alaska for decades, and in the past, they didn't have to think about water like they do now.
It seemed that 2 weeks of summer would be a long, clear span, and the rest of the time we'd be raincoat on, raincoat off, raincoat on, raincoat off. Those were kind of the summer days. So this is really odd to see so much sun all in a row.
McNamara says he and his wife, Donna, are now considering drilling a new well. Just up the road, Synergy Gardens co-owner Lori Jenkins says her family relies on rain catchment tanks and a 30-foot irrigation pond. When the tanks ran low this summer, they began pumping water from the pond. Jenkins says the 30-foot irrigation pond replaced several smaller ponds, and she's glad to have it.
After those droughts in 2015 and 16, we realized we needed a larger volume of water.
All the old ponds are now dry, she says. The weather's different than it used to be.
I contribute that to climate change. The seasons are so different than what old-timers tell me.
The season's changing now, expected to be cooler and wetter, but communities still have not had enough rain to ease worries about water. In Anchorage, I'm Kirsten Swan.
This summer also marked the hottest, driest July in the Aleutian Islands in 95 years. The region got just over 1.5 inches of rain, nearly 2 inches below the region's long-term average. It also experienced an average maximum temperature of nearly 59 degrees, almost 5 degrees above the long-term average. For more on the changing Aleutians climate, go to our website at kucb.org. Unalaska Community Broadcasting has covered local and regional news for the past 20 years. And to mark that anniversary, KUCB is spending every Thursday of 2019 looking back at our former reporters and sharing some of their stories. This month, we're focusing on John Ryan, who worked in the newsroom during the summer of 2015. He sat down with KUCB's Zoe Sobel in Seattle to reflect on his decision to take some time off from a job at KUOW to work in Unalaska.
Ever since my 2 years in Juneau, I've kind of had the Alaska bug. I love the great land, the 49th state, love it to death. And always am thinking, oh, how am I going to get back there for fun or any reason, really? And down here, I had been covering in 2015, Shell Oil had been trying to get permission to drill for oil in the Arctic. And their platform, the Polar Pioneer, the name of their big rig, was down here for some work in the shipyards here, and all these protests were here. The kayaktivists, they call themselves, went out on the water and did these floating, boating protests. And so I did a lot of that coverage. And then, of course, Unalaska was going to be the kind of the headquarters for Shell's Alaska effort. It was, you know, the last deep water port before they got up to the Chukchi Sea. So I thought, oh, that would be a really interesting place to continue covering a story that I felt like I had covered as much as anybody. And would still be of interest to a Seattle audience. So I convinced folks here, hey, can I just disappear for 4 months and not lose my job? And and here's why. And I told them about this gig, and they said eventually, after some negotiations, they finally said, sure. So I did that, and it was very quick because the opening was happening right away. So I was like, how do I shut down my life in Seattle and get up there as fast as possible?
What was the station like when you were there? At the beginning, you were the only reporter, right?
Yes. For most of my time there, I was the only reporter. Coming from a big station where there's lots of, I guess, bureaucracy, there's lots of quality control, which is good, and there's also lots of hoops to jump through, which is kind of the two sides of the same coin. So that coin doesn't exist. It didn't exist at KUCB, so it's just me. I could, in theory, call up somebody in Anchorage or Juneau to maybe get an edit, but I didn't do that much. So there was a freedom and a terror to doing that. I like to think of myself as a pretty good self-editor, but it's always better to have somebody else review your work. So that was scary. I also hadn't been responsible for a daily newscast before, other than occasionally filling in for somebody else. But to do that day in and day out is, that was a high pressure thing to jump into for somebody who's more, I was an investigative reporter before. Which means I might spend weeks on a single story instead of doing 5 newscasts a week. So it was a shift of gears.
While you were on Alaska, what were some of your favorite stories to cover?
I love covering science and environment stuff. So that's, I did a lot of those, maybe more than some other reporter might have, but I just loved doing those. There were also just the random stories that were just kind of surprising. Oh, Lauren would say, "Hey, there's a nuclear submarine in the bay. Go check it out." I'm like, "What?" So I did, and I go out there, and there's a black submarine in the bay, and I go out, and they had a station at the time. It had a nice camera, long lens, so I got some nice pictures of this thing, and then try to get anybody from the Navy to talk to me about what's going on. And so, to name one particular story, I loved when these researchers came out there with these devices they called sail drones. They look like big windsurfers, and they were kind of self-piloting, essentially, and they would just work their way all across, meandering around the Bering Sea, taking different measurements of temperature and salinity and all sorts of stuff to help monitor ocean conditions and climate change. And I got to interview the guy behind this as he was collecting the drones down on the docks. That was a story that was both fun to be out there. And then I got about as goofy as I've ever gotten in a story, and just had kind of made it like a almost science fiction story of maybe these drones are not what they're purported to be and they're actually out to get us. But telling this story of what was actually happening, and then my like paranoid, ridiculous voice saying, "Well, what if they're, what if they aren't following orders?" And maybe, I can't remember the details, but probably the story I had the most fun writing, the reporting was just, it was pretty cool. People often talk about only in Alaska stories. I think they're also only in Unalaska stories.
Do you still keep up with what's going on in Unalaska or at KUCB?
A little bit. I follow KUCB on Facebook and Twitter. I've donated, I think, both. It's been 2 years of cycles since I've left, so I'm a member.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think there's just great, interesting stories happening out there. I like to call it the western end of civilization, right? That there's basically one full-time newsroom covering 1,000 miles of island and ocean out there is both kind of sad. Like, maybe it wouldn't be nice if there was more journalists out there, but it's also kind of, I think it's what made it just interesting to be out there as a journalist.
You've definitely shared some favorite stories already, but any other favorite memories of Unalaska?
The internet. So crappy, right? So that was part of the reason that I spent so much time hiking, because just being inside, there just wasn't that much to do inside. And to move someplace as a solo person, middle-aged solo person, not really knowing a soul, was kind of terrifying. And I was fortunate to make friends with a couple of folks who are big hikers and get to do that all the time. So that was great. I guess I would say it was great to be part of a community where what I did really mattered, and to feel like you're really making a contribution. It can be easy to not feel that way in a big city. Like, we don't often get feedback on our work here. But in Alaska, I would run into somebody at the Safeway or what have you, and they would have feedback. Sometimes thanks or praise, sometimes maybe not, but it was just nice to be part of a small but powerful little institution that was really central to the life of a community. And I think it's especially true in a tiny, tiny town like that. They're really fortunate to have be able to have a public radio newsroom in a town. Is it 4,000? Is that the population now?
Yeah, it's a little bit closer to 5,
yeah.
But small.
Yeah, so that's just a tremendous asset that I hope the community appreciates and keeps supporting.
That was John Ryan, the 9th reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. He now works as an environmental reporter at KUOW in Seattle. And you can join him in supporting KUCB by making a donation at our website or during our annual Pledge Drive fundraiser set for October 4th. Be sure to join us each Thursday for the rest of this month, when we'll be re-airing some of Ryan's stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. Tonight, the APIA Behavioral Health Center is holding its September Community Action Group meeting. The group meets monthly to share concerns and ideas about what support people in the community need regarding substance misuse. It will take place from 6 to 7:30 in the evening at the Alexandria House in downtown Unalaska. And looking ahead to this weekend, on Saturday, the Museum of the Aleutians is offering a public lecture with Dr. Cale Bruner. The free event is on prehistoric stone tool production in Unalaska Bay. It starts at 2 in the afternoon at the museum. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.